Roz is a single mother, with a deadbeat ex-husband problem.
And that's kind of common, I think. I don't know how things stand in Canada, but certainly in the UK, men can run away from a family, and if they're not working, they don't have to contribute any money. If they can prove that they're not working, then really, I think Rosie's sister uses the line, a woman can't do that. It goes against her biology. She can't leave her children and walk out. And so, yeah, poor Roz is left looking after this child without very much money and certainly no help from him. On saying that, I do love the character of her ex-husband. I tried to make him feckless but likable, so.
You're on her side, because she's the central character right from the start, told from her point of view. But little things start cropping up.
When I'm plotting and when I've come up with a central premise, and the premise of this is pretty much Indecent Proposal reimagined as a thriller, then I'm looking for, okay, what makes this main character vulnerable to attack? So, and the attack comes from somebody who gives her the proposition of, will you spend the night with me for money? So she needs to be a financial disaster. She needs to have flaws and weaknesses that have made her like that, and that's why she is the character that she is. Otherwise, she wouldn't accept the offer. She wouldn't need this in her life. So it's a setup. But I kind of like making women so that you're not sure if you think, oh gosh, I don't know whether I can forgive that in them. And I'm quite a forgiving person. I've got friends who've done some of the stuff that she has done, and I wouldn't put them out of my life.
She, I don't even, what's the right word? It gets entangled with in
Yeah, I think
meshed
entangle
with,
is good is a good word. Yeah.
with a friend of her sister's.
Yeah, her sister's a social climber and has befriended this couple who were not sort of, going back to the film, not Robert Redford billionaire standards, but for where we are in Windermere, it pretty wealthy. He takes a shine to Roz, and he comes on to her, but she's, after my ex-husband had lots of extramarital affairs, I certainly won't be taking him up on his offer. But then he tracks her down at work, and he knows that she's got financial difficulties, and he puts this offer to her and says, look, I can sort out this financial mess for you if you spend one night with me. Yeah.
She's got herself into a pretty big
Yeah,
pickle.
she's originally, she was like a lot of people sort of around, 2009, 2010, who, when the going was good, she spent freely and she spent more money than she had, and she overextended on her mortgage, and she spent on credit cards, and she had a good wage coming in, so this was all fine. And then, of course, things don't last, and the money dries up a little bit because her husband loses his job, then he leaves, and she loses everything. And then go forward a few years from there, and suddenly we find that she's in a rental accommodation, and she's just been served an eviction notice and had her furniture taken away. So she really is nowhere to turn. That's where we meet Roz, and that's why she's in such difficulty.
So Roz gets herself into this sort of indecent proposal, which you actually reference in the book.
Has to come straight out with it, I think.
It was like you confronted the elephant in the room.
Well, when I was looking for the idea for this book, when I was looking for any idea, I'd run out of ideas. People often think as a novelist, oh, you must have ideas every day, and I really don't. I get one good idea a year that works if I'm lucky. And I was, normally that comes towards the end of the book I'm writing, and I really was dry with this. I had nothing. And then I was thinking about that famous story about when, in Hollywood, where the producers were trying to pitch Alien, and they were going around to Hollywood executives and saying it's Jaws in space. That was their pitch. And I thought, actually, wouldn't it be great if I could take something from one genre and move it into my genre, an established premise? And then I came across the film Indecent Proposal, which hasn't, the film hasn't stood the test of time, I don't think. I watched it not that long ago. And actually, after the actual proposal, not a lot happens. But I think the premise has. I think that thing of would you, wouldn't you, would you sleep with a man for not $1 million in this case? But I think that still gets women talking. I think it's quite polarizing. I think people get upset about that idea. People tend to think what they would do and what they wouldn't do and judge other people for it. So then once I had that idea, other ideas tend to come in and stick to it. And that's when I think, oh, I could set this book where I live and they could be normal people. And I've got lots of scope with it. I've got lots of places to run with this. And that's when I know I've got something to work with. So yes, I do mention it in the book because that's the idea of the book. Yeah.
The man who gives her the proposal, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm thinking narcissistic sociopath.
I don't know whether I would go that far, actually. He's like a lot of people that I've met who certainly I used to, the area that I live in is quite affluent, but it's also got the very poor living next to the very rich. And I would get very rich patients coming in who thought that they had a sense of entitlement from their money. They would ring up and say, "It's such and such a body," and I was supposed to recognise the name. "When can you fit me in?" I would say, "Well, it's 2 weeks on Tuesday." "Oh, no, but it's..." And then they'd say their name again. I'd say, "Yeah, it's 2 weeks on Tuesday." And they really did think that money could put them in earlier. And I just found that annoying. I thought, I don't know why how people behave like that, really. You've got no more right than anybody else. And that's really what I base Scott on, that he's, because he's got this wealth, he has this sense of entitlement where he thinks he can buy anything, you know.
Or anyone.
Everyone's for sale. Anything's for sale, he says, you know. And obviously that's ridiculous. But you need a guy like that, you know. If he was more charming, maybe people would have fallen for the proposal. Other people would have fallen for the proposal earlier, you know. But he's convinced that he can. And actually his reasoning is quite sound. You know, his wife is no longer interested in him. He doesn't want to use an escort, he's done that, and his reasoning is that he wants a nice evening with a nice lady, you know, spend the night in the hotel and enjoy her company. He doesn't think that's unreasonable at all, and he can't get that in his life. He doesn't want conveyor belt sex, as he calls it, from you know, escorts, and he doesn't want to have an affair. He doesn't believe in breaking up other families, and he doesn't want to take on a woman as a mistress, because that has its own pitfalls, and, you know, and so I can understand his reasoning.
The book is The Mistake I Made. It's a novel. I've been speaking with the author, Paula Daly, and The Mistake I Made, published by Doubleday Canada.